So we just finished the seventh series of the Discovering Christ. Now we are having this Following Christ. And then in one of the series of the Discovering Christ, a sister related to me the story, said by the speaker, and then I adopted the story. So it's about three friends stranded on a remote island after their ship capsized in the Pacific Ocean. The first guy was busy collecting twigs and branches of trees to build a shelter from sweltering sun. The second guy was busy holding a metal against the sun, hoping that the passing fishermen or plane would spot and rescue them. The third guy was on the shore, relaxed and sunbathing. So the two guys, look worried, approached the third guy and asked him why he was doing nothing but frolic on the shore. He said, "I give 1 grand every Sunday in my church. I know my pastor is looking for me now." So the fourth Sunday of Easter is also called the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Today we celebrate the risen Lord as the Good Shepherd. The priest in charge of a parish is called pastor, so looking after you. Not because of the 1 grand, because we care for you. Because pastor means shepherd of Christ's sheep. Each year, the gospel reading is taken from John chapter 10, where Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. So I like the image of Jesus as the good shepherd. I find it so comforting. It is a comfort for us to know that he is personally concerned about our welfare. It is a comfort for us to know that he knows each of us by name. It is a comfort for us to know that he leads us to the green pastures of salvation. But most of all, Jesus, as a good shepherd, is the one who lays down his life for us. We know how impressed we are when we see people risk their lives to help others. The good shepherd is loved by his Father because he lays down his life. Peter, in the first reading, speaks about Jesus as the rejected stone that has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone is a wedge-shaped stone at the top of an arch, which locks the other stones in place. So Jesus, the rejected cornerstone, locks in place the living stones of the church because there is, as Peter preached, no other name by which we are saved. Jesus is the one shepherd, and there is one flock. Jesus is a good shepherd. We are the sheep. I wonder why we should like very much being compared to sheep. I'm not so familiar about sheep and shepherding. In Palestine, shepherding was a regular way of life. That is why sheep and shepherds are a frequent image in both Old and New Testaments. Perhaps we don't know much about the actual work of shepherds or the character of sheep, let alone in Palestine. But to know something about it helps to grasp what Scripture is saying. I admit that I know less about sheep. So I asked my 9-year-old nephew, Ralph, he lives in United Kingdom, about their sheep, for they have some in their backyard. But there is a difference between sheep herding in Britain and in Palestine. Their sheep are left to graze in the fields that are securely enclosed. They don't need a shepherd with them all the time. But in Palestine, there are no enclosed areas for grazing, and good pasture may be less plentiful. During the day, sheep are taken to wherever there is fodder, and they are led there by the shepherd and his assistants, often children. This is as true today as it was in Jesus' time. The shepherd needs to spend the entire day looking after his flock, wherever they may be. At times, some sheep may stray away from the flock, so they need constant attention. I read about sheep, and their reputation is so humbling. Though the sheep produce valuable wool and meat, they are often stubborn and difficult to handle. They are not smart, but one of the most stupid animals in the world. It is great and comforting image that Jesus is the good shepherd, but it is not so great and less so comforting that I am a stupid sheep. So when my nephew asked me, what do I mean, stupid sheep? I said that all the sheep know and can do when wolf comes to attack them is bah. So they need a shepherd. But he corrected me, saying that their sheep have horns and ready to protect the lambs when they are threatened by predators. So some scientists claim that sheep are not as stupid as I once believed. One scientist reveals that the sheep are far more intelligent than they have been given credit for. There is hope yet for you and me. Moreover, the same study reports that the sheep have relatively advanced learning capabilities, are adaptable, can map out their surroundings, and may even be able to plan ahead. This gives me another hope. So my ignorance, after all, is not invincible. I can learn, I can adapt, find my place in the world, and even, maybe, get to my destination without getting lost. So modern science and my conversation with my nephews regarding sheep herding experience revealed the truth of the gospel. Christ remains our shepherd, and I do want us to understand that we are not supposed to remain stupid sheep. We are not supposed to be always on the verge of getting lost. Being human and not sheep, how much more can we learn, adapt, grow, and change? It is that the Good Shepherd has done for us, his people, who were but once a flock of stupid sheep. So let us therefore praise and glorify Jesus Christ, because he is our good shepherd who stoops down to care for the poor, the lost, and the not so smart sheep like you and me.